Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Sometimes we miss it, but he never misses it. I'm just so in love with him. And my heart's desire is for everyone to know him, really know him. And part of my job in the kingdom is to help people connect through a relationship. Sometimes he gives me a message and sometimes he doesn't, and I don't have one. And so what that means is I'm just listening and going to say says, and I'm not saying anything more. Lord, help me. And I believe, though, when I was walking earlier, he was talking about creating jealousy for him. And sometimes, and I love to talk about Jesus because he's everything to me. You know, he set me free from such a wretched life of destruction and bondage and hopelessness. And so anytime I can people and help them get set free, I do. But when that happens, there's usually two things that will happen. One, the religious spirits in the room will start to rise and get mad and kind of get, you know, contorted face. Hallelujah. So here's the thing. If you start to experience any of that, that's just a sign that you need some deliverance. And so don't put lipstick on it and don't pretend that it's not there. Okay. Just say, Jesus, what's happening right now? And set me free. And when you do that, that's the easiest form of deliverance I know. You know, I just love how simple his kingdom is. You know, sometimes people complicate it. If you know me at all, you know I live a very simple life. You know, I have the mind of Christ, and I very seldom talk about anything that he's doing. Or I very hardly ever give an opinion on anything. But when I do, it's usually the Lord. And I'd rather just let people go on and blah, 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 blah. And I'll just check out and just hang with the Holy Ghost. You know, because truthfully, most of what people are saying has no impact on the kingdom of God and bringing fruit into the kingdom. It's usually man's opinion pushed with a Bible verse and then cranked to try to get you to come along. And that's a work of the flesh. It's manipulation. And if there's ever going to be any power in the church, we have to recognize the difference between spirit and flesh. And, you know, early on, I got the privilege to help people. You know, but first let me just say this. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. So I had a pretty easy playing field if I didn't have to get deprogrammed from religion. There was none, you know, so I was pretty lucky in that aspect. I did go down some very dark paths because I was looking for truth. See, we're all created for a desire to know Jesus. He put that in us. And so, you know, whether it's media or influences from the world, we are looking for Jesus. Every one of us, including those transgenders and the ones that don't even know what sex they are, they're all looking for Jesus. And they just don't know who he is yet. And you know, I went down paths of drugs and alcohol and some pretty rough stuff. And would get caught in the bondage because my heart was like, I'm looking for something. And then that, you know, the influence of the world would say, oh, come on in, have a cup, it's okay. You know, and then they keep you in bondage. Anybody who's dealt with drug addiction knows what I'm talking about. And so what happened is, you know, I battled addictions in my life, and I worked the programs to try to get set free until one day I met Jesus Christ. And he set me free. I no longer needed a program. He is my program. And I don't say this with, you know, I don't disrespect any self-help group out there. Anything is better than nothing. But see, if it's not of the Spirit, it will never set you free. And we were created to worship him. And if we're in bondage and chains, it's hard to lift our hands. And oftentimes I see people, you know, dear godly people in bondage. They can't share. They can't say anything. You know, the church is judging. They're expecting expectations of they should be performing this way. Enough of that nonsense. There's a lot of sheep that are broken that need fellowship with the King. And so what happened to me was, you know, I tried the New Age stuff. I tried it all. And it all led to dead-end plastic junk. I even tried works. You know, I built up an empire of properties and toys and had a great family and was on the PTA committee and the other one, Market Day, and all that stuff, thinking this will be it, this will be it. And it all led to bondage. And then one day, because there's something in me going, there's got to be more. This is it? I did all this and this is it? This is the top? Forget it. And I cried out one day and said, this is it? And what happened is God caused. See, he hears those cries of the heart. When you think he's not listening, he's listening. He is. And I'll never forget it. Our church, you know, I was one of those one of those Christians. You know, I only went to church because I had kids. You know, I thought that's what moms do. They go to church and get their kids religion, you know. And so what happened to me is our church started to go through a split. And I have discerning of spirits. I was born with it. And so I was seeing things that were not good, but I didn't know what to do with them. I thought pastors were to be worshipped. I didn't know they were flesh and blood just like me. You know, I just didn't know. And so I was seeing stuff going on at church and not knowing what to do and praying in the best I could in English and not sharing with anybody because you can't share this stuff. If there's a split going on, you know, there's always division. And I remember saying, if this is what divorce is like, I want no part of it. And I watched how the enemy devoured and split the church. And I know people to this day who still will not go to church because of that split. And that was over 20 years ago. I don't know. I don't keep track of time like most people do. But anyway, what I'm going to say is I ended up going to one of Edgar and Holly's meetings. And for those, it was a Saturday night meeting. I'll never forget it. I walked in that place, and I went there because my sister thought I was religious because I went to church once a week, which I never read the word. You know, I just went and wanted to get spoon-fed by the pastor a feel-good little message so I could feel good for the week. So you want to talk about milk? I wasn't even on milk. I was on, you know. Amen. So what happened was my sister had a friend who was in trouble and because she was being bold in Christ, and they thought she was in a cult. And I went to the wrong place. I went to Edgar and Holly's meetings, and I met Jesus in there. It wasn't, you know, this other person was going to a different place, but I didn't know it. It was a setup by God. And here's the thing. God is continually setting us up, and I'm going to stir us today to feel the setups and walk into them, because I can't tell you how many times I've been set up by God. And you don't even know it, you know, until you're in it. And then you're like, whoa. And so I went to the meeting, and I remember Holly was at the keyboard. I could feel the presence of the Lord so strong. I was overcome with conviction. You know, I was one of those half-hearted Christians who used to say, I got to remember it. I love God first. I love my family second. And I love work third. But the truth was, I was a workaholic who sometimes took care of my family the best I could, and God was like third and last. And if I remembered, hallelujah, would, you know, maybe say hello or something. I didn't know about relationship. I never was taught. And so in that meeting, I met Jesus. He came and talked to me, and I never have been the same since. And what happened in my case is I liked drugs back then. And there was, you know, I liked the feel of the drug. When you first put a drug in your body that it only lasts for a second. The bondage lasts forever. But there's this feel that you get, the first buzz. And what would happen is I'd go to these meetings and the Holy Ghost would fall on me, and it would be the buzz of bond, buzz upon bond. It was the purest form. And I'm like, all that stuff was counterfeit. This is what I was searching for. And I couldn't shake it. I felt like I could, you know, I'd drive an hour to go to those meetings. And I couldn't shake his presence afterwards. It was so strong on me. And he started to convict me. And I started talking to him. I got filled with the Holy Ghost in those meetings and started talking in tongues. And I wasn't sure what all that was about, but I knew it was the Lord. And here's the thing. I said yes to the Lord anytime and all the time. If I heard that sickness, you know, you could get healed from sickness, I didn't know any of that. I thought you were destined to go to the doctors and go into the system. When I heard you could be healed from migraines and be healed from all kinds of stuff, congestive heart failure, I was like, oh, really? I was a little kid who believed what I heard, not knowing the word of God at this point. I'd be like, really? Well, I want that. And they would do a prayer line. And I'd go up there and I had high cholesterol. I had asthma. I had a blood disorder, migraines, a couple other stuff. And I got healed of all that stuff in those prayer lines. supernaturally. And what I would see, old Edgar, you know, he had a hand that was so huge and a voice that was so booming, but I was in love with him. Not in a weird way, I just was like, I trusted him. I knew he was a man of God and I could trust him, and I didn't trust anybody back then. You know, when you grow up, you don't trust. You watch my back, I got your back. And I just knew everything he was saying was true. And he would smack his hand down on his big old ring, and it would shake the whole thing, and it would like send off something in the spirit, and I would feel it go in me. And there was so much boldness and power. And so, you know, he'd have a prayer line, and we'd all stand up, and I'd be standing there closing my eyes in desperation for deliverance. Whether it be a sickness, a mindset, a secret sin, it didn't matter. God knew, and I would close my eyes, and I'd go, Lord, you got to deliver me. And other people, I'd hear him, shut your eyes, you know, or, you know, and I'd be like, oh, who opens their eyes in a prayer line, you know? And I could feel, I could feel the presence coming towards me. And then I'd see this ball, this white light coming. And then the last thing I always remembered was it would be in front of me, and then I would come to. And I'm not one of those fakey, folly, downy, whatever those are called. I don't believe in that junk. Because you don't need to, because God's real. I go after the pure holiness of God. I don't want any counterfeits because I lived a counterfeit life. And there's too many in the body of Christ living a counterfeit life. And God's calling us clean today, hallelujah. He's going to set us free, and it's effortless. There's never any shame with it. It's because you want to be free. And so I'd go to these meetings, and I'd learn. And on the way home, I'd say, what is that about? And he would talk to me like I'm talking to you, like friends talk to friends. I'd say, I don't understand that. What's an idol? Hollywood talk about idols. And I'd say, well, I don't get how that is. And then he'd show me my idols. And I'd be like, whoa. And, you know, some of them you say, oh, I repent right away in the name of Jesus. You know, I don't want that. You're the only one I want to serve. I don't want to serve these houses or this committee or any of that. I only want you. You're going to be first in my life. And some of them were a little harder, you know, when it came to, like, maybe family members, you know, when you think you know what's best for them. Listen, we don't. God does. He created them in his image. And so, you know, there's this long journey of self-deliverance and an awakening to his word. And I heard him, I don't know why, I'm one of those backward people who, I hear him before I read the word. You know, I knew him, I saw him in the spirit before I actually knew him. You know, I think that's a little odd, but it's just the way it is in my life. And so, you know, I would listen to what he would say, and I would do what he said to do it. And sometimes I'd argue and say, I don't understand, why are you making, you know, and he'd give me the reasons, like a father distance a child, but not the weird kind that is fleshly where you're in trouble. It's no, it's so you don't hurt your hand, or it's so that you don't open the door to the enemy. And so this was a lifestyle and a journey, and I'm still on it. But what I want to say is, I was raised up. I call Edgar and Holly my spiritual parents. You know, they taught me so much. They pointed me to Jesus. They helped me get set free. And I honor and respect them. I'm so thankful that I got set up to be a part of what they're doing in the earth. And so what happened is, whenever you get born again, there's usually a resistance. You know, your old dead life will fight you. And so what I see a lot is there's people that are still in resistance mode when they haven't really said yes fully. You know, it's called one foot in and one foot out. I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. And it's a natural response, but God is calling us to recognize that and see it through the spiritual eyes and recognize that we have to shift our feet into the kingdom mentality, the kingdom world. And what happens is most people live, you know, we're all dual citizens, but most people live too earthly. And I saw signs and wonders. When I would hear Edgar's stories, I got to sit. Every Friday, the Lord said, I want you to go serve those guys. Help them. They need help. And so I would go every Friday, go mow their grass. I'd do whatever they needed done. You know, it didn't matter. I didn't care because I wasn't doing it for them. I was doing it for him. When I would do a service, truthfully, I didn't know how to love people too well, but I asked him to teach me how to love. And I asked him to teach me how to love him, because I didn't know. If you're not raised that way, how are you going to do it? And the only way is by him helping us. And so I grew to love Edgar and Holly and respect them, but I did it out of obedience in the beginning. And obedience always brings a blessing. And I don't really care about that so much, but it's just a kingdom principle, like Holly was talking about in solutions. If you do this, this will happen. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade my life, but what I want to say is, I'm going to back up a little bit. You know, God's been talking a lot about the fire, you know, and 1 foot in. Listen, we're in a day where God is really causing us to see our hearts. You know, we've learned how to dress up and act and speak the church words or whatever they are. I don't know. You know, I'm not into whatever. I'm not into fads. I've never been a fad person, even when I was a very fleshly person. I just didn't care about stuff like that. God designed me that way. I don't know why, but he just did. And so what's happened is some people in the church have become so accustomed to the lukewarmness, and it's watered down to the point where others just think it's okay to be that way. And God He's stirring the fire. And he's stirring the fire in our hearts. And it's not to hurt us. It's to protect us. And meanwhile, the enemy's like, oh, that's going to hurt. Don't go through that fire. Don't commit. Don't make a decision. You know, friends, here we go. I see people in here right now who want to get married. And you're believing to be married. But you're not believing that God has the best person for you. You're trying to do it through the earth curse system. And you're on online dating right now. And you're doing your profile. And I want to tell you something. There's a lot of predators out there who love Christians because they're easy prey. They're gullible. They're dumb. But I'm going to tell you something. I can't tell you how many times we've people that I know, I think I'm supposed to get married. Will you pray for me? Sure, I'll pray for you. And I hear no. And then I say, you know, I really feel like this isn't the one. I think it's got something better for you. And you know, they usually hate me after that for a season. You know, they're mad at me. You know, I used to do these meetings in Bristol, Wisconsin, and I'd get the young kids, you know. You know, and some of them were into missionary dating, you know, and so they'd bring, you know, whoever. And it was a growing experience for me, too, because, you know, I didn't do a lot of dating. You know, I grew up a little weird, okay? And so I would have to listen to what the Holy Spirit was saying, because my opinion doesn't mean anything. But I would say, you know, listen, this is what the Lord's saying. And I can tell you, there's there's a family that this thing has run through their bloodline. And I think I've witnessed to three of them so far who were all about to marry the wrong ones. And now later have said, you know, thank you. Thank you. Because they found their mate because they laid it down. See, marriage sometimes is idolatry. Oh, if I'm married, then I'll have financial security. Or, oh, then I'll be happy. Oh, I'll never be alone. Or I can never work again because my spouse will take care of it. Whatever. Listen, who you are before you get married and who you are after you get married, it could be ugly. Because now you've got somebody pushing on your points that you've been able to put lipstick on all this time. And, you know, we see it a lot. And you know, I've had people, like, you know, they'll come to me and say, well, I feel like I'm supposed to marry this person. And I'll say, ah, no, that's not the one. The Lord's saying, no, he's got another one. And then, you know, well, I don't like that answer. So I'm going to go to Holly on Sunday and see what Holly's got. You know? And then Holly will get, see, it's the same Holy Ghost. Who has your best interest? We don't have opinions. We lay our opinions down. When you're an ambassador of Christ, you don't get to have opinions. And see, there's still, oh, we're going here too. There's still too many people, godly people, who are bringing their flesh and their opinions in, and it's tainting the power of the Word of God. The Spirit is what moves. And I'm telling you, some of you are going to be surprised what you see. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. We have to get in position. And this is the season of positioning. You know, it wasn't enough when they took away the sports and they took away the schools and they took away all the stuff. Yet people are still running around shopping and playing and whatever, crocheting, whatever you do for idle time. Listen, this is the season of fill your oil. I'm telling you, I have been praying for the body of Christ because some of them are so dull and asleep, they don't even know there's oil to be had. Listen, I was praying for the retreat. I was caught up. I was praying. And I'm praying for every one of you and in the next retreat too. And I'm praying the Holy Ghost gives me. You know, I'm not praying my agenda. I'm praying what the Holy Ghost wants. And I'm seeing this oil, this beautiful oil being poured in to all of us. And I love when His oil flows. And I love that it's effortless. But you have to show up. And most of the body of Christ is not showing up. And I'm not into condemning you. If you don't come to a service, I don't really care. I'm taking your oil, though. I am. I am not letting one drop waste. You know, I'm very polite, and I'm the last person to take a chair. Take it. I don't care. Oh, you want that outfit? I don't really need it. Whatever. Take the last cup. I don't care. But when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, if you're, I don't know if God, I'm taking it. I'm taking it. I've been doing this for years, and I see the blessings because I'm bold and take it. Now, do I earn it? Deserve it? No. But He freely gives to all of us. And He's calling us to be bolder and take what He's offering because it's to equip us and fill us so that we can stand in the day when no man's going to be able to work, when nighttime comes. Because that's coming. We don't know when, but it's coming. We can see there's been a shift. Do I welcome it? Absolutely not. And am I praying against it? Yeah, I'm proclaiming the Word of God into the earth, not with fear and not with my opinion. And when you do that, there's power. And so God is stirring us to go into the fire. You know, I hear that scripture, be separated. You know, so many times we come in with a group and, hey, I haven't seen you in a year. Spend time away. Separate yourself so that you can hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. Because He's got something for you. It's a key that He wants to put in or unlock. But if you are coming with your friends and casually coming, you're going to miss it. You know, I remember one time I was crying out for deliverance. I was a mess. A mess. I had so many things going wrong with me, and I was frustrated. You know, I was mad at God because, I'm saved now. I'm serving you, kind of. You got to help me. I'm a wreck. But here's my heart. My heart was, purify my heart, Lord. I want clean hands and a pure heart. I don't know what that looks like because I don't have it, but I want it. And I know You're the only one that can give that to me. Lord, You got to deliver me. I got these strongholds. I got this sin in my life. I can't shake it. I shake it for a while, but it comes back. You got to help me. I don't know what to do. And I would chase to these meetings. You know, they were life to me back in those days because I didn't know how to house His presence. So I would go to where the presence was. And then it would linger on me, kind of like a smokehouse, for a couple days. But I didn't know how to cultivate it at that time. So I remember one time I'm at a meeting in Waukegan, and Edgar and Holly are there, and I'm desperate. You know, I listen to every word, and I believe every word, and I'm crying out. And after the meeting, you know, Holly would do a prayer line, and her prayer was a little different than Edgar's. Edgar's people went flying, you know, flying, and people were healed, blind eyes healed, you know, limbs grow out, all kinds of stuff, cancers dissolved. And it was common. It wasn't like, well, once in a while, maybe if God. It was all the time. He walked in authority. He walked in healing. He was healing. And so he would do these boom, 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 and everybody would, you know, it would be a blowout. Holly's was more, she'd listen and release the word, and it was like a secret from heaven to help them go to the next level of relationship or an emotional healing thing. And so they were two separate veins, but the same Spirit of the living God. And so one day, you know, and this long line, it would be a long line because Holly was not, you know, bam, bam. It would be a few minutes. Maybe she wouldn't quit until the Lord gave everything to each person for that time. And so I'm standing at a long line. And you can hear people talking, let's go get pizza. I'm like, Lord, You got to deliver me. Lord, You got to set me free. Lord, I'm a mess. I'm a wreck. I wouldn't even open my eyes to talk to the people. They'd have to tap my shoulder and tell me to move forward. I was so in. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm great. I'm saying that because I was a wreck. And I need help. And I'm going to tell you, one of those times I, you know, of crying out. Here's the thing. Cry out until. Faint not. And so one of these times I'm standing in line and I didn't even know Holly that well back then. And I'm standing in line and I got my eyes closed and I don't even know what she said. But I saw this bolt of lightning come from heaven and it hit me a little bit below my belly or my leg area and I went flying backwards. So I'm now, like, if she's standing here and I'm standing there facing her, I'm now way back there up on an altar, like a step up. I got a rug burn, the whole thing. I went flying. And listen, what happened to me changed my life because of desperation. Now, I could have been, pizza, that sounds good. And sometimes I do say, pizza, that sounds good. But I'm telling you, God's setting us up, and it's effortless change because he's in the house. And so what happened to me was, I don't know what really happened in the natural, but I ended up going to heaven. And when I left, I felt my body, and you know, I think my whole body left, but they said I was here. But this is what happened. My hair, I could see my hair like flying backwards. I had long hair back then. I could feel the skin on my face. Like, you know, you ever been in one of those rides where I could feel it like pushed back and I went straight out into the atmosphere. And when that happened, there were two bands. They were like giant rubber bands. And they got snapped. And it propelled me, and I ended up in heaven. And I remember burning. I remember coals on my lips. And I remember thinking, I'm going to die. Yeah. And I felt like I was going to die, and I really thought I was, and I was okay with that. Because I was in the presence. I was in the presence. And God changed me. And what happened, angels attended to me. And I remember thinking, I am so hot. I remember thinking, my throat is so dry. Fire burns. It purifies. And I'll just tell you this. I used to swear like a trucker back then. Okay. So, you know, a lot of that got removed. A lot of stuff got removed that night. But what happened was when I came back, I didn't want to come back. And I remember saying, no, please don't make me come back. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I want to stay. I had kids, but I didn't care about any of that. All I could care about was him, and it was like I was so whole while I was there. Everything was so pure and alive. And when I came back kind of like in a thump. You know, it was like a thump. And I looked to my right, and there was somebody tending to me, like giving me little drips of water, you know, because my mouth was so dry. And I could barely stand. And I was like undone. Nothing mattered. I didn't care about the service. I didn't care about anybody. And we all kind of went to the restaurant. I couldn't eat. I couldn't drink. I just kind of was like in a stupor. And I remember thinking, I have to go to the bathroom. I got to see what my hair looks like. And I looked in the mirror and I couldn't believe that it was not, because I could still feel it was like, you know, and I was so perplexed by that. I'm like, how does that work? And I remember sitting there and I couldn't even drink tea or nothing. And I went home that night and the Lord had told me some things and they were future stuff. And I went home and I was so wrecked. I went to bed and I couldn't eat and I couldn't drink. And I woke up the next day and he was still on me. You know, there's something when the presence hovers over you. Yeah, you know, that's what you feel like. And I remember thinking, how am I going to pull this off with my kids and my husband? And they thought I had flu, so I let them think that. And 3 days I laid in that bed, you know, and God just, you know, he was all over me. I mean, I'm not kidding. And it was like everything had opened, you know. And what happened as I, you know, I'd sit out. I could barely sit, you know, and I would go sit out on the step. And I remember saying to the Lord, I really like that. Can I do that again? And he told me, you can come anytime. Now, it's never the same, but I'm going to tell you something. I sit there, and he was so kind. What he was doing, he was preparing me because I was so broken and so shut up and so messed up from the walk of earth. And I remember sitting there, and he said to me, when's the last time you cried? And I remember thinking, gosh, cry? I remember thinking, well, I cried when my kids were born. No, I didn't cry when they were born, sorry. I cried when I got married, not because it was a bad thing, it wasn't like an emotional thing. And then I'm like, I cried when my kids were born. And then I cried one other time when my son got in trouble, because it was something bad, you know. That was like 100 years ago, so he wasn't like saying, listen, you stupid head, you know. He was bringing it out. He's bringing a question, and he said, and I said, you know, I don't know. And that was all he said. He wasn't like, well, start crying, you know. He was opening up the stuff that was capped. And he was healing the stuff that was broken. And so in my flesh, fast forward, like about 45 days later, I'm at another service, and I'm mad because I'm trying to cry and I can't. Because I know the Lord wants me to. So I'm, you know, I had to even look up the emotions in the dictionary, you know, like fear, you know, happy, sad. I was such a mess. So, and I'm looking at them, and okay, this is what you're supposed to do. Okay, I don't have any of that. There was no connection. But what happened was, I remember being mad because God revealed it to me, yet here I am, Lord, help me. You're the one who brought this up. Now help me. How do you open, you know, what happens? And I remember going to a meeting, and I went up for a word from Holly at the end of the service, and I was kind of really mad at God, and I'm expecting her to give me the key, okay? And I go up there, and I'm all holy, you know, not talking to anybody because I really need to know the answer. But I have anger in my heart. I'm really mad at God that he hasn't let me cry. You know, you can't fake a cry, you know. And so I go up to her, and I'm thinking I'm going to get this key. And she says to me, are you mad at God? And I go, yeah, I am. And I'm thinking, oh, here's the prophetic word. She goes, stop it. And it was like a Holy Ghost slap. See, my little two-year-old temper tantrum kid was trying to push the flesh through what the Spirit was doing. And trying to push ahead. And I'm not kidding. I was laying in bed one night, and I was reading the Psalms, and all of a sudden, you know, that scripture is a deer pants for water. It opened. And it never shut after that. And it was, it's been life-changing. And why do I say that? Because if you're ever going to be a servant of the King, you got to deliver what he's giving fully and wholly. And if he's crying and we can't cry because we're too macho or too broken, you know, that's kind of like a stale word. And you know, I've had my experiences with stale words. I remember one time God gave me a word to give to somebody. She was at a hospital and I was getting like a test done or something. Oh, that was when I had my ankle broken. And he said, her name was Megan. I'll never forget this. And he said, and she had cancer. And he goes, tell her I love her. And she had all her friends with her. And I'm just like, no way. You know, I'm not doing that, Lord. And I'm talking, but I'm like, I can't. I'm afraid. I can't do it. And then I felt so bad because what happens is the enemy, right after that, if you disobey the Lord in a season, you know, what happens is the enemy comes and says, you call yourself a Christian? You stink. You better not. You just better never do it again. And I would get beat up so many times for being disobedient that I finally got sick of it. And said, I've had enough of this, and I'm going to do what the Lord says to do when he tells me to do it. Because I found out, see, I didn't trust him. I was learning trust with the Father. And what I found out is he's always right, and I'm never right. Amen. He's always right. And here's the cool thing. When he gives you a word to give somebody, they've already placed a draw on him. So you're not going to walk up to somebody who hasn't asked God for help. And so to make things worse, I'm on my way to the Bible study after I totally blew it. And I said, Lord, if there's ever another chance, give me another chance. I do it, I promise. I'm in the dressing room and she's in there with her friends. And I wouldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I had too much fear of man. And she was just a high school kid. So you think that's the end of the story? Wouldn't that be great? I mean, no, it gets worse. I'm driving to my Bible study. And the car in front of me on Highway 50 has the license plates, Megan. I'm like, okay, I'm, you know, it was really the enemy pushing on me to show what was in my heart, fear of man. And I've had a deal with fear of man, and the church needs to deal with fear of man, because if we don't, we'll never fulfill the promises that God released through the cross for us and the body of Christ and the lost and the broken. And so I know there's a lot of people in here dealing with fear of man. And the enemy has pushed you and jabbed you and taunted you because you've been disobedient. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God's bigger. He's your dad. That enemy is he's a thief. He's a liar, and he has no authority over your life unless you give it to him. And I'm actually seeing a key being exchanged right now. I see some of you taking back the key from the enemy, and you're not saying, "Can I have it, please?" You're like, "You dirty, rotten scoundrel, give me that key. That's mine." And never again will you deal with that, of him pushing you and shoving you and telling you how bad you are because you disobeyed. Listen, Jesus paid the price. He set us free. He set us free. When we blow it, it doesn't matter how great or how bad our day is. We call on his grace. We attain it. We call on his grace and mercy in time of need, and he's always there. He always forgives us. Now, then the other part of that is some people throw that around as a license to sin. Nobody in here has that heart. So don't even think that way. Every one of you has pure hearts. Every one of you has a pure heart. Every one of you has a pure heart. And so from this day forward, you will no longer allow that lying, foul devil, who's a robber. He's a robber. He's trying to steal from you. You're going to tell him no more. This far you can go and no further. And you're going to do it with authority because you have the authority of Jesus Christ in you. So I'm stirring you because God has more. And he's bringing us up higher. And so we got to clean up some of this stuff so that we can go further into the truth. We talked about the fire. That fire is one of the most holy things. And if you ever see his fire, go in. You'll know the difference between counterfeit stuff. You've got the Holy Ghost. You know, I remember one year the prayer team went up to Green Lake, Wisconsin. We locked away in a house and we prayed. And I saw the fire of God. And I saw, you know, I was going through the burning process, you know, where he burns the dross off you. And it's only because you say that prayer, "Lord, use me any way you want. I don't care. My life is a mess, but you are everything. And whatever you want to do, if you want me to be the doorkeeper, I'll be the doorkeeper. If you want me to wash toilets, I'll wash toilets. If you want me to just worship you, I'll worship you. Whatever it is, I'll do. You just tell me." And then there's that working it out. We work out our flesh and our issues, and we cross over and into the Spirit, and that's where our authority is. And then we bring it into the earth. But first, you got to go up. So anyway, the fire. I saw this fire, and I see Jesus. You know, Jesus, he's always there. He doesn't, you know, he's always there. He won't pull you through, but he'll guide you. He'll be there and say, "Come on, keep your eyes on me. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Come through." And when you come through, that dross burns off you. And you're purified. And you're sanctified. And there's trust that grows when you walk through the fire. But many people are afraid of the fire. "I'm afraid of the fire." And that's what I saw when we were praying. I saw a couple of people were like, "Oh no, I'm not going there. I like where I'm at. I'm used of God right now. And I like this where I'm at." But God has so much more. You know, I remember one time Holly shared a vision of a pastor. And you know, when you hear it through the filter you need to hear it from. You know, God speaks through prophets and the mouth of a prophet. And so I remember God was sharing this vision with Holly about this pastor with wing-toed shoes laying, and he had it all, but there were deeper levels. And I remember the first time I heard that, I said, "Lord, let me never settle. I don't want to settle. I always want the fresh, everything fresh in you. I don't want to do anything that you don't want me to do. Help me." And he always does. And sometimes I blow it. You know, nothing earth-shattering anymore because my life is pretty clean, but I still have thoughts. You know, I still say stupid stuff once in a while. And when I do that, I repent. And I break the words that I spoke. And God is challenging us to watch our lips. You know, it was spoke earlier by our beautiful sister. You know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. We have authority. We have it. We have it. But we have to know we have it. And I remember, it's just like a little kid learning how to walk. You know, first, when you're learning, you hold on to your mom or dad's fingers, you know, and you're wobbling, and you're learning who you are in Christ. It's no different. The walk of the Spirit is just like that. You can't walk without the Father. And if you try, you'll get lopsided and you'll get waylaid and probably captured in deception. There's a purity and a holiness, and it's not hard to obtain. It's just dying to yourself. And God asking us, will you die to your own wishes, your own dreams, your own promises, and everything you think you know? And will you say yes to the promises I have for you? Will you worship me? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And sometimes we do this daily. You know, there's stuff that comes up. I don't feel like doing that, Lord. I'll do it because you want me to do it. Give me your grace. We can't do anything without His grace. And I know some of you are like, is she going to talk about discerning spirits? I hear it. No, not right now. Stay focused. Wandering minds. Hallelujah. So, God's talking about setups. See, we have to get this before we go further. And there's always setups. You know, our brother got set up today with his dream. Wasn't that wonderful? Only God could do that. You know, I'm going to talk about setups. I got set up and I got nailed and went to heaven and certain sins left me forever that day. I didn't know it right away because you don't know. And I think that's what those bands were when they got cut. You know, because I remember driving. You know, I used to be a route driver, and I'd cry out, Lord, I'm a mess. I'm struggling with this sin. Will you help me? And then one day He did. Faint not. And so as I've learned, and this is for all of us, as you grow in God, you grow in trust, and you realize He really does know everything. And if He tells you today to give away your car, you do it. Now, as you're growing in that, first He will say, give away your coat. You know, He doesn't start off with give away your house. He'll say, give away your shoelace. You know, He grows your faith with you according to the measure that you have. And so this is for everyone. And some of you, I know you can't hear this, but most of you can. So bear with me, because God's going somewhere. And you're coming along too, but you're just going to, you're coming up the back end, okay? But you're coming. And so... so try not to doze off. And so here's the thing. Divine setups are every day. They're not once in a while, once every blue moon. Supernatural is every day. The supernatural lifestyle, we live it. We don't just hope for it. We walk it out daily. And the church needs to come up. And we are representatives in the church. And so we have to model that, but not through the flesh, but just being, well, what do you say now? Oh, okay. Go for a walk. Oh, bye. If He told me right now, leave and go for a walk, I would leave. And I'd say, I gotta go. There is no agenda. I don't have an agenda. You know what? We had songs picked. He said, cut the last song. I said, cut the last song. They're like, the last song? I said, cut it. Now, you guys didn't know that, but the Holy Ghost did. See, He knows what people's hearts are doing and how they're reacting. I don't, unless He tells me. So, we're gonna, a season where we have to develop the zig and the zag. Okay? And this is opportune time because we're primed for this. You know, years ago, Holly had a vision and she shared it at one of the meetings. And I'm going to paraphrase it again, but she was caught up playing cards with the intercessors and friends in a cloud. It was a tornado cloud. There was storms all around and she was caught up playing cards and she just looked down. And I thought, and I remember sharing that thinking, wow, well, God gave me a dream. And in the dream, I'm with them in the car, and the storm's coming, and I'm seeing the storm come, but I'm scared. So I pull over and go into the gas station to seek shelter. And then the storm hits, and I say to the gas station attendant, where's Holly and Linda and everyone? Oh, they left, and they were caught up. And I was stuck back there. And I woke up from the dream. Now, I could have justified and said, well, I was supposed to. No, God was showing my heart. I had issues of the heart. And I said, Lord, something's not right. I don't know what it is, but I should not be in fear, and I should be watching the monitor of when the storm's going to hit. Hello, anybody out there? Who's watching the monitor? There's a better way. It's the walk of the Spirit. And I didn't know it back then. So I said, Lord, I don't want to be left behind in the storm. I want to be playing cards with those guys, you know. And so fast forward, I had to work on the issues of my heart. Fear, focusing on the things in the natural realm instead of what the Spirit is saying and what the Word is saying. And so Fast forward, I don't know, a couple years later, he gives me the dream again. And this time I'm in the cloud above the storm. Now, have I made it? No, but I'm certainly not down there anymore. And I was like, oh, wow. And that was like a couple year. And see, that's the cool thing about dreams. Oftentimes, they continue on because it is the Spirit. God talks to us when we're sleeping because sometimes we can't hear otherwise. Or we try to rationalize it. And so, or we run from him because we don't want to hear what he has to say. Dreams are good. So anyway, God is preparing us. He's positioning us to walk in the supernatural all the time. But it has to start now. No more excuses. I'm talking about the oil of heaven. We are vessels. We're carriers of his glory. None of us earn it. None of us deserve it. It was only by the blood of the Lamb. He redeemed us from the curse. We're back in original garden state, in fellowship with our Father. We're ruling and reigning on earth as it is in heaven. We have to see it and know it and believe it and speak it. And God is challenging us to push away the lists, the urgency of this deadline, this project. They can't do it without me. Listen, they can. Your work, and I'm not saying quit your job, but I'm saying put the kingdom of God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this other stuff will be added to you. There's so much backwards and out of order, and because it's so common, nobody knows it. God is straightening out our crooked paths, and he's showing us, and there's oil to be had. Get your oil while it's free. There's going to be a price. You pay the price now. You say yes to Jesus. Yes, I want to go deeper. I'm changing my ways. Teach me. Teach me the walk of the Spirit. You know, Holly's got a set out there called the Walk of the Spirit. Life-changing. She actually taught it at your church, Pastor. And it's life-changing. It's simple steps to grow in the walk of the Spirit. If you don't want to buy it on the CD table, get it online for free. Everything we have is available somehow, some way. Now listen, this oil is important. And I'm not going to teach on it today, but I may later. But listen, you're a vessel for his good pleasure. If you recognize that and position yourself, he will fill you. You don't have to work it out or crank it out, or it just happens. And it's glorious. Everything is glorious in the kingdom of God. Everything. And so I know some of you I can see like some shifting happening. You know, I'm not going to do that anymore. Or Lord, give me wisdom on how to change that. Now, I used to be a workaholic. I used to have a spirit on my back that would drive me. I couldn't stop working until the task was done. And if it was 2 days, I wouldn't stop. I would work until it was done. It was, you know, it was demonic. It was good for some people, but not for the kingdom of God. And God changed that because I asked him, what is my problem? You know, I was getting mad at people. And what ended up happening is he told me that my boundary lines had been violated and I had let people in through the side fields. I had a vision of my house in the spirit. Beautiful house with a beautiful porch, fields on each side, and a long driveway. And the driveway hadn't been used. People were cutting through the fence and the fence was worn down. And I was like, well, it was like, listen, I let that happen. I said, Jesus, help me. Help me repair the fence line. And every night I would walk with him and say, Lord, how'd I do today? How'd we do? And he'd say, well, there was a little push here, but this is what you said. Because I would say, Lord, what do I do in a situation like this? I wouldn't dial a friend and say, what would you do if somebody pushed your body? I'd say, Lord, what do you say? Holy Spirit, what do you say? Because he's got the keys. He knows. And oftentimes the enemy will use people to push, to keep you out of the presence. And once you're out of the presence, well, you're like a fish out of water. You're just no good. And you can pretend you're good, but you're really not. And there's no condemnation in that, but God wants you to breathe the waters of heaven where there's everlasting life. We only get one shot at this, guys. And he's calling us. Ooh, I heard the word repent. He's calling us to repent. He's calling us to repent. Father, right now we repent for not in you first. Where we said, oh, we'll get to you later. Lord, we repent. Lord, we repent for putting our families first. We repent for putting our families first, our work first, our church first, our ministries first, our friends first. For thinking we know more. We repent. We repent for having plans that are not your plans. Show us truth. And we receive you, Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth. Correct us. Direct us. Change us as only you can. We say yes. We come and say yes. We say yes. He always wants agreement. We say yes. And then, Holy Spirit, help us. Give us the grace to stand strong in you, in all truth, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So, I want to talk about signs and wonders. I want to stir you guys up because I feel like we're like prime, you know, ripe. You know, God's, there's this dullness and it's like, you know, gone in the name of Jesus. You know, supernatural lifestyle is for every one of us. Supernatural. I expect, every day I expect signs and wonders and miracles. I wake up expecting them. I expect them in my dreams. I expect them. And God wants us to start growing in expectancy. How do you do it? You start seeing it. Where do you see it? In His Word. Go into the Word. Start meditating. Don't study it and analyze it. Just get us one scripture that pops and meditate until it becomes you. It's like it goes inside of you. Listen. We have to get this right. And I'm sensing the urgency. Not that we're all in error, but it's like we're pressing in. We're moving over like into newness in God that's been there forever. It's the ancient days that are being opened for us again. Stuff that was lost and stolen. We're going into our territory in Him so that we're able to stand and release the captives. Know which ones to pluck from the fire. Know how to say a word in season. Know how to love when they start coming in the door because they're going to come. You know, the Lord showed me a vision. And I was walking. He had me on this walk. I was praying for the bodies, you know, for the church. For I don't know how many days He makes me do these things. And I just do them. And He showed me the lost kids in the basement. And my heart wept for those lost kids. The ones that are on antidepressants, playing video games. They're 40 years old and they're still living in their parents' basements. You know, and there's no shame in that, but that is not of God. That's not God's best for anybody. And I saw those lost kids being set free in such a way. And this was before all this junk broke out. This was way before that. I saw them getting set free supernaturally and coming out of darkness and coming into light. And He also gave some correction at that time. He said, stop enabling. And you know, I'm not even going to go there unless He makes me. But listen, He has the key to help you in this situation. We get prayers all the time with people that have, you know, abusive family members living in their house. And, you know, He has the key. And He will release it if we seek Him for it. And there's nothing too hard for Him. Listen, I've had bones broke. And I've commanded them back into place. And they go into place. Nothing's too hard for Him. We have to seek the standard of the Word of God and not how it looks in the natural. When my bone, my knuckle bone was crushed and up here by my wrist, did it hurt? Yeah. Did it swell? Yes. But I knew it was a violation against me from the enemy. And I commanded and I spoke until that bone went back into place. And let me tell you something. When it went back into place, my stomach went, eh, because I felt it. It felt like water moving or ice or something. I looked up and I'm like, ooh, it just moved. I watched it. I watched it move into place. Nothing's too hard for God. I broke my rib. I was moving a safe. I was on my, trying to move this big old heavy safe. And I heard my rib crack. And now the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. You know, I said some prayers and it hurt. Nothing happened. And I knew I was going to get healed. I know God. He always heals me. See, do you have that kind of faith? Do you know He heals? He heals today. All the time. He wants us healed. And I remember, a couple days went by and it hurts. And you can't cough. You can't sneeze. You can hardly move. And I'm like, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Thank you for my healing, Father. And I started to waver about day 5. And I stood in front of the Walgreens medical section. And I was contemplating buying a wrap. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, do you really want that wrap? I said, nope. And so I didn't take the wrap. And you know what? I got healed that night in a service. Listen, if He can heal a broken bone, we can prophesy to dead bones and call them to life. And we're to prophesy to the dead bones, the dead promises, the dead dreams, and call them to life. Don't settle with the enemy and what it looks like in the natural. Listen, there's about to be an eruption in the kingdom of God on earth. There's about to be an explosion, and we're all part of it. Amen. Another story? I'm stirring you right now because people are like, oh, really? I can command a bone to be healed? Yeah, you can. Yeah. Listen, a while ago I'm driving. I drive every Wednesday night to the meeting up in Wisconsin. It's about an hour and 15 minutes. I'm in a car that God gave me 4 years earlier or 3 years earlier. I don't remember now. And I'm driving. And at night it's dark. And I'm, you come home at 11 o'clock at night, sometimes a little later. I'm tired, I'm talking to the Lord. The car's old and, a little bouncy. And it is what it is. One day I'm driving somewhere. I don't even know where I was going. And Holy Spirit, how you just talk? You ever talk out loud in your car to Him? Yeah, amen. Some people are like, oh, you can do that? Yes, yes, fellowship. Your best friend. Ask Him to get to know you. You get to know Him. Teach and grow. So anyway, I'm driving and I hear the Lord say to me, I want you to sow for a car. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, He wants me to financially sow for a car. And I'm thinking, okay. And I say, I don't say anything else because I think, oh, I'm going to go home and I'll write a check and sow a seed for a car. And because I'll do whatever He tells me to do at this point, because I've crossed over where I trust Him in every area of my life, because my life is His life. We're one. There's no me anymore. It's Him. So I'm driving another time, and He says, because I didn't get it. He says, what are you believing for in a car? And I said, Lord, you know me. I don't even care about a car. I don't care what color it is. I don't care. You know best. Should I have a truck? I don't know. Should I get a Volkswagen? Should I get an e-car? Should I get a van? I don't know. But you know me best. You tell me. He goes, but what would you want in a car? See, He was trying to get me to speak words, speak life. And I said, well, I guess I'd really like a car that has great suspension. Odd word. Who thinks that way? And then it opened. I'm like, and I'd like a car that is modern, that has you could hook your phone up to it instead of me driving dangerously. I said, I'd like that. And then I'm like, I don't care about the color. I don't even care. I said, and here's the other thing. I hate shopping for cars. I don't want to do this. You bring me the car. That was it. Couple weeks later, now that's not the story. The story is what I'm about to tell you, the setup. I'm supposed to go to my mom's for dinner, and I don't really want to go. I'm tired. I've been working, and it's a family event, So I've had more God encounters by being obedient to going to my family events. Let me just tell you. He gave me a house out of one of them. So I go there, and I'm having a nice time with my family. I love my family. And I'm like, I'll take my mom home because we met at my sister's. And so I take my mom home. And Holly's saying to me before that, we're busy. We're trying to get ready for something. She's like, we need docking stations. We need docking stations from this computer guy that we use. And I'm like, I don't want to go get docking stations either. Just like I don't want to go for this family thing. I'm tired. And she's like pressuring me, not weirdly, but I feel like you're supposed to go get these docking stations. So I call my computer guy, and it's now 9 o'clock at night, probably a Sunday night, and I go, hey, are you in? He's like, yeah, I'm here. I go, I need those docking stations. Can I come get them? He's like, come on over. So I go to his work, and I'm on the phone to my other friend. I said, listen, I'm just going to run in, get these docking stations. 20 minutes, I'll call you back. 3 hours later. It was a God thing. So I'm in there, and he set me up at the docking stations, and my daughter was looking for a condo. And he's like, I love connecting people. I said, you know anybody who's selling a condo? My daughter's looking. He goes, I got this guy, and I'm tired at this point because it's 3 hours. And he goes, I got this guy that's bringing this car over that's got really good suspension. And I'm like tired, and I'm like, oh my God, the Lord's talking to me. You know when you sow a word, you reap a word? And I'm like, God's word, I sowed that word, and it just came out of that guy's mouth, but it was from heaven. And the other thing I asked the Lord before, I forgot to say this, is I wanted a towing hitch on the back of my car because I do a lot of moving stuff. So I go, it's got good suspension. And he looked at me like that was an odd thing for him to say. And so I said, I think God's talking right now. I go, do you have a picture of this car? And he pulls up a picture and he shows me the back end of the car with a trailer hitch. And I'm like, I didn't care what color the car was, because none of that mattered to me. And I said, oh my gosh, that's my car. I go, I think I'm supposed to get this car. Now, I'm not even looking for a car, remember. You know, and I never financially sowed. He was trying to get me sowing with my words. And so, but I have sowed financially for things. So, there's no box the way it gets done. You listen and do as he says. And so, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm getting a car. And so, I go, when are you getting? He tells me, I said, listen, I'm heading out of town, but I'll be back in a week and blah, blah, blah. Fast forward, I go home that night, and I'm like a giddy kid. I'm like, oh my gosh, you set me up. I'm talking to him, and he said, remember you said you didn't want to shop for it, that you wanted me to bring it to you? I'm like, yeah. He goes, remember you didn't know what you needed? He goes, this car is like, it's the best of the best. It's so far above what I could even have asked for, okay? It's got like so many security features and all these things that beep all the time. And here's the thing. It sat in storage for 2 years and was only driven on Sundays when it wasn't raining and it was heated storage. It had brand new tires and rims that he paid $2,000 for. And I don't care about any of that, you know. And so to the point where, like about a month ago, the Lord says to me, hey, look at your tires. And I'm looking at them. Oh, they're full. Yeah, they're full. They got air in them. You know, I'm not, he goes, you know, any guy would want those tires. I'm like, really? You know, I noticed they had little things, you know, the tire thing, that cap thing. I'm like, those are pretty, you know. But these are like custom tires that are like, you know, some great thing. You know, I didn't even know how good it was. And so listen, God set me up. I told him what I wanted after he prompted me. He knows best. See, I wasn't like, whatever. He's like, no, what do you want? And he gave me exactly what I wanted plus what he wanted for me. See, I have sown my life into his kingdom. I don't care about anything but what he wants to do. And because of that, he's obligated to take care of me because I'm his daughter. And he always gives me the best. Now, brand new tires, under 50,000 miles, transferable wraparound warranty, and a car cover, which I'll never use. I'm going to sell it. So, unless he tells me not to. And so, when I go to get the car, here's the other thing. I don't have any money for the car, okay? But it doesn't matter because he kept saying, I'm giving you an upgrade. I'm upgrading you. This is an upgrade. You're no longer pulling you out of what you used to do, and you are now positioned in this. And I'm like, wow. You know, my old car had a 12-foot ladder on it, if that gives you any idea of what I used to do with those cars. And so, you know, my car, anybody who's ever been in my car often comments on the fragrance of the car. It could be oil, it could be gas, it could be paint, you know, whatever, garbage. So, and this car's like so awesome, okay? Now, yes, it has had weird stuff in it, but nothing like it used to. So anyway, I'm telling you this because I'm trying to stir you. What are you believing God for? Do you need a healing? Is there a bone out of place? Speak to the bone. Are you struggling with cancer? A bad report? Speak to the report. You have been given all authority. Every one of us has the authority. And then, here's the thing. You may feel resistance from the enemy, but you are greater than the enemy. He's just an imp. You are a carrier of the presence of the King of Kings, who died and released everything into you, and who wants you to walk in boldness and authority. Behold, I give you authority to trample over every work of darkness. Every work. Not just certain ones, every work. And if you're struggling right now, redeem your mind, renew your mind. Get in the scriptures and let them play and let them speak and build your faith up. Listen, we are on the verge of something magnificent. Whenever there's junk going on in the earth, don't focus on that. What's God doing? Don't look at that screen of the bad report. Look at what the Word of God is saying about the situation and the times and seasons. And if you don't know the times and seasons, just worship Him and let the angels do the rest. They'll come, they'll minister, they'll heal, they'll deliver. You know, there's been so many times I've been so dull. You know, like, oh, I should have been. You know, things are, I know I'm going long. Things there's seasons in God. There's been times when I've been delayed just because of pressure or not knowing that I'm supposed to do something. And I've had angels come and pick me up and move me forward into position. He will do whatever's necessary to advance His kingdom. As long as we say yes. If we're missing it, He'll help us. He knows we're not smart in that, there's a little bit of dullness there until we break through. And then there's even more of His glory and responsibility of tending to Him what He wants. And so I know I've kind of been all over. I'm just going to close with this one last thing. I don't know if I'm talking on discerning the spirits. I don't feel it right now, so I'm not going to do it. But I do have a teaching out there that was birthed out of a dream that I had. And I sat and with the Lord and said, what was that? And that teaching came from a dream I had. And the dream was, I was supposed to speak in a church and somebody else got up and started prophesying all this junk and nobody knew the difference. And I was like really upset of it. Not because I wasn't being used, but the people were listening to this junk. And I was like, Lord, don't they know that this is not even truth? And so when I woke up, I sat and I prayed on the dream for the longest time. And He's like, you need to teach. And so I did. I wrote out a teaching that He gave me. He gave me the outline from heaven. I sat in the chair for, I don't know, days and just wrote it out and then prayed it through like stew, you know, and seasoned it and then released it. So it's a great teaching if you don't have it. Hopefully I'll get to teach on it. I don't know what He's doing, but it's not now. Amen. Anybody have any questions? Oh, that's a good question. That's kind of a cool. Okay, so I go home and the Lord says, this is like an expensive car. It's not like a $500, you know, blue light special car. The guy said, I go to my friend, what does he want for the car? How much? He goes, well, I think he owes 25 grand on it. And I'm like, oh, okay, because I don't have any money. I don't even care. If the Lord brings me the car, He's going to bring me the money. And so, you know, I'm not getting in the way with even worrying or wondering. And so I'm talking to him and he says, I want you to offer him $19,000 for the car. I'm like, okay, because that's half the battle, knowing what to ask. And so we meet up for the car and he says, I take it for a test drive. And of course we go over the worst railroad tracks ever to see how the suspension is, you know. And I go, ooh, nice. And so he goes, I go, what does he want for the car? He goes, $25,000. I said, oh, you know, I prayed and I felt like the Lord said $19,000. He goes, well, he's supposed to pay me $1,000 for it. And I said, how about if I get $500? Because he didn't have to list it or do anything. It's just an easy transaction. And I said, so how about $19,500? And he says, let me talk to him. So he goes and meets the guy because the guy's there. And he comes back and he said, if the Lord said to give her that car for $19,500, he's not getting in the way of it. And he goes, I'm staying out of it. And so I'm like, okay. And so I wrote him a check. And this isn't when COVID's going on. And he doesn't have the title either. So he's got, and nothing's open. And so I wrote him a check for $19,500. And this is faith. Okay. Huh? Well, I had some. Here's what happened. You know, that stimulus check thing? That came. And then, oh, my taxes. I have a business and personal. And our business tithes. But and so when the accountant said, gave me it said I owed all this money. I'm like, how can I owe? I've been paying quarterly. That doesn't make any sense. And so I was really upset. And so I got a rough draft, and she forgot that the charitable contributions on there. So I ended up getting a refund. I'm a big believer in tithes and offerings because it all belongs to Him anyway. You know, I used to be self-employed years ago, and this was before I was fully submitted to Him, and I'd be like, oh, do I sow before or after? You know, He gets it all. He gets it all. You know, I don't care. And I give more than 10%. I don't believe in, I grow in percentages of giving because, it makes a difference, but that's another teaching. So anyway, what ended up happening was I got money back, and I remember thinking, gosh, I have extra money. How odd, you know, it's kind of weird. Before that, my old car, the Lord told me, go get your car fixed. And so I'm getting all this stuff fixed on it, you know, stuff I didn't care about. And I thought, I wonder if this is just a fleeting thought. I thought, I wonder if the Lord's getting His car ready for some young girl, you know. That's what I thought because, you know, why else would He have me fix that car? So it was all like a setup along the way of obedience. And so then I write Him out the check. And I don't say, give me a bill of sale or any of that. I said, let me know when the check clears and you can get the title. And so I call my sister and I say, hey, I just bought a car. And I told her the whole thing. She says, you didn't get a bill of sale? I said, listen, this is God's thing. There's no need for a bill of sale in this. This is, every bit of this is the Lord. I said, remember when God gave me that house and people, you know, it's a long story. They wanted to be the bridge to help me get back on my feet, and I got this house, but I didn't have any money, and so they were my loan. And so they were leaving the country, and they wired like $100,000 in my checking account without me signing an IOU. I'm like, I didn't want to mess with anything, and I was like, oh, whatever. So I had some of the money, and then what I did was the rest I borrowed from my business account, and then when I sold my car, for $8,500. The Lord said to sell it for that. I paid $11,500 for it 3 or 4 years before. I mean, I lost no money on that thing. And so then I only owed a couple grand on it after that. And I said to the Lord, I'm believing for this car to be paid in full. I'm not going to, you know, I'm paying myself the business back. It's a property management company. I'm paying it back. But I really feel like this is a total gift from you and this isn't your best. And I was supposed to meet with some people. And you know, they've sown into my life before. I don't crank people, but you know, they've always listened. And I went and had some fellowship with them, and I really felt like it was like $3,000 what I owed left on the car. And I remember thinking, I wonder if they're going to be the ones. And I felt like they were, but they didn't do it because they were in fear. They were like totally looking at the TV report of how bad the world is right now. And I didn't care. I don't care about that stuff. And what ended up happening is I got another check in the mail for $3,000. See, God will use whoever. And I've blown it so many times that He's used whoever. You know, I'm not judging people. I'm just saying God will always provide a ram in the thicket. There's always a way if we don't faint. And that's the word for now. Don't faint. You know, I was sitting with two old saints in God who have gone through. I was sitting there listening to them about a week ago. I was listening to their stories of how they came from the brokenness of this flesh world and transitioned into the spirit and the knowledge that they had. I would love to impart into the young people. I would love because it's seasoned. You know how God has you. You know He's always good. And when we're young in the Lord, we don't know that all the time. We're like, well, is He? He's always good. No matter what, He's always good. Get that. If nothing else, get that. He'll always give you the answer if you ask Him. And so, did that answer your question? So, yeah. Amen. Anybody else? Father, I thank You for right now. I know You're stirring us up because I know who You are. You don't settle and You don't want us to settle. You want us to come boldly, come expecting. And Lord, I know there's people still struggling. Right now, I pray. For supernatural intervention, breakthrough. I hear Him saying, I don't deserve it. I'm too far strayed. Breakthrough. I bind every demonic thought and dart right now. Breakthrough. Breakthrough as only You can. And Lord, I thank You for the design, the divine setup. Let us always be in position for Your divine setup. And let us always thank You. Always thank You when we see it, and Lord, help us thank when we don't. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.